Hello once again. My name is Eric Francis, editor of Planet Waves and the host of Planet Waves FM. Welcome to the next segment of our continuing coverage of the United Astrology Conference in New Orleans, Louisiana. My interview subject right now is a woman named Frances Clines from Dublin, Ireland, who is studying at the University of Wales, Trinity St. David. And she's doing a PhD supervised by Nick Campion, who I hope to get on the program. Nick being the author of the World Book of Horoscopes, or the Book of World Horoscopes, excuse me. That's the definitive reference for you when you want to know the birth time of a country. Nick has researched like all three birth charts for Israel and so on and so on and so on. So this is who's supervising Frances's PhD project, which is a pretty cool person to have supervising for you. And her PhD is on the use of the internet by astrologers. Eminently relevant subject, since there's 3, 4, 5 million astrology pages that come up when you type the word astrology into Google. So in some ways, the whole thing is showing up on the internet as a phenomenon of the internet. Many people don't know any other astrology than the internet. So welcome to Planet Waves FM, Frances.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about what got you into this and how you've evolved into doing it as a PhD thesis.
The MA in Cultural Astronomy and Astrology was originally in Batsbai University, and I started there in 2005. My dissertation for the MA was based on the internet again. In those days, the title was the effect of IT on astrology. During the course of my research there, I discovered that there were various theories on the internet, the early cyberspace theories, the academic literature on cyberspace. There was also a belief that astrologers were more than average attracted to the internet. So after I'd finished my MA, I decided to pursue these studies further in the shape of a PhD.
Is it true that astrologers are more than average people drawn to the internet?
I'd have to say at the moment it's coming up about average.
About average,
yeah,
right.
It's about the same.
Okay.
There was a lot of early theories. Some of them have stood up, some of them haven't. In the early days after cyberspace was defined by William Gibson, a neuromancer, there was a huge academic study of the internet, and the internet was considered in those days a religious place, a sacred space, and that we were drawn to it from religious urges within ourselves. Now, there are numerous theories which you have on my questionnaire there that have disappeared a little over the years, because how it was used back then is very, very different from how we use it now. In the early days, it was very much used for academia. It was a bit of an ivory tower. Today, it's very much part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those ideas disappeared in time. And in fact, the first questionnaire I issued 3 years ago at the ISAR conference in Chicago, most of those theories that are on the questionnaire were rejected by the astrologers. Now, I've asked again, and
You mean like the sacred space theory?
The sacred space theory, the idea that the internet empowers us, even the concept that the internet is becoming God. Those were overwhelmingly rejected, but they're not being rejected to the same extent this time round. So even in the 3 years since Chicago, since 2009, we use Facebook, we use Twitter a lot more. We're using it differently than we did then. In fact, social media was around then, just it hadn't taken off to the extent, and the way we are viewing social media has changed. I mean, one prime example is the idea that Twitter will bring about the downfall of all authoritarian governments. Nothing can be hidden. In fact, Twitter is personally responsible for the Arab Spring. Now, this is what I consider the rebirth of one of the earlier theories, what I call the utopian theory of cyberspace, that the internet would bring about democracy the world over. Well, we know that hasn't happened so far. So it's been reborn in this idea that it was responsible for not just the Arab Spring, but the world's knowledge of the riots in Iran following the presidential elections. Was it two, three years ago now?
Well, what if it was an essential piece of those things? What if it wasn't the only thing that was responsible, but that without it, these mass movements might not have happened or happened quite the same way?
Well, as regards the protests in Iran, there were, I can't remember the exact number, but there were an incredible number of tweets. I think it was like 250,000 in a short period of time, but 95% of them came from outside Iran. There were some from around, but the people who were demonstrating were not hanging around with their mobile phones. They were out on the streets.
Right.
You know, and I mean, okay, this is one concept. Ultimately, what I'm looking at is how will this affect astrology? How will astrology fit in this?
Yeah, and what have you learned, for example, that surprised you? What's been salient that you were not expecting to find out?
About the internet or about...
And astrologers and their involvement with the internet.
Really, the biggest thing that surprised me is that they have changed their view so much in 3 years. No, I don't think that is just astrologers. I think that is very typical of the way we are all seeing the internet and the way that we have adapted so quickly to it. And to not just to the internet, but to the new technologies, to social media. The speed at which some very strong views have changed in just 3 years has surprised me. I did not expect these ideas to be accepted at all.
So what's an example of one of these views that's changed very quickly?
I feel strong in cyberspace. I feel powerful in cyberspace. Cyberspace is another place. There is a place called cyberspace that I go to, and I'm no longer part of the physical world.
And that's because it's become so integrated into our lives, that you're saying has dissipated. There's less of that.
It's been reborn.
Ah, it's been reborn.
It was rejected 3 years ago overwhelmingly.
At what stage? What was the indication of the rejection of that?
95%.
This is based on your research.
Yes. This was the questionnaire in 2009. I would say 95% disagreed or strongly disagreed.
That the internet is a separate space.
That there is this separate space in the internet called cyberspace that we go to when we log on.
And are you describing this in terms of a general population or a population of astrologers?
A population of astrologers.
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting because I think that, in my thinking, the internet is the first documentable, retrievable, fully reliable alternate plane of reality where you can leave a file someplace and go get it. But it's a lot like an astral plane. It's like the astral plane with some pegs.
Yeah.
And some coordinates where you can actually go back and find your little version of Summerland and have it be there.
Yeah. The early theorists have described it in that fashion. Okay.
Yes.
They have also said that our reason for seeking to go to this place is because we are seeing it as a sort of a cosmological duality. Like they've likened it to the Christian heaven, to Nirvana, to Plato's world of being, to any of those other places where we seek to go to. The difference being we can go there while we're still alive.
Yes.
In cyberspace.
Yes, exactly. And we can go back. That's the beautiful thing. We can find each other and we can go back. Unlike, for example, a dream, which is also an encounter with an astral plane, it's very difficult for most people to get back to a place they dreamed of unless it's happening to them. It's a recurring dream of some kind.
One particular cyberspace theorist, Michael Benedict, referred to that as a godlike power, because for the first time we can go to another world and come back where we never could before.
Yes.
That has led on to some of the other theories of cyberspace as God or cyberspace enabling us to be omnipotent.
Yep. Well, yes. Well, and that's really interesting. I mean, because I think of that, you know, it was not that long ago that, for example, to retrieve an article, I had to get in my car and drive to a library. And now pretty much you can find what you need. Now, there's limits. I mean, there's certain pockets of time where things are not retrievable. They have not necessarily been put on. They're not searchable. Maybe we don't have access. But more and more things are being put onto the internet and the past is being retrieved, granting a kind of a time travel ability. The New York Times archive, they've scanned in everything going back to like 1876.
Uh-huh.
And you can look it up practically for free. You can see, you can have a facsimile copy of a column in the New York Times from 1895. And they've got the whole thing indexed. I mean, that's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the all-knowing internet. I mean, when we go into Google, we consult an oracle.
Yes.
And we now see that I believe to a certain extent we assume we can know everything because we can open up the internet.
We can. If you have the perceptual ability to assemble what you know into something called meaning. But I've always called Wikipedia the wiki god, and I've done little skits where I get on my knees and type the thing into Wikipedia and pray to the wiki god because it's pretty damn amazing. And, you know, I don't agree with any of the critiques of Wikipedia. I think it's an amazing composite compendium of information that we can all participate in, we can all add to. But anyway, so what about when the moments we have left? We only have a couple of minutes, because you've got to go. But what can you tell us about the way astrologers perceive the internet that's different than the way someone else might perceive the internet?
I don't think they do, Eric. So far, I think the way astrologers perceive it is very much in line with the way the general population is perceiving it. Now, we may use it in slightly different ways because astrology is somewhat different. There have been some controversy, some, let's call heated debates with the skeptical community about astrology. I'm quite sure the average person out there is not getting online and arguing with a scientist about some other ideology.
But arguing with a scientist about a study they haven't done yet.
Yeah.
Pretty much any time you're arguing with a scientist about astrology, it's all about studies that have not been done.
Well,
and you can win the argument by saying, and where's your data? The same way you win an argument with somebody from Monsanto. Where's your data? They don't have any data.
No, they don't.
So there you go. So so what you're finding out is that basically, in some ways, astrologers, despite their enhanced interest in metaphysics and their constant referencing to things on other planes of reality, in certain mathematical dimensions that we use, their interaction with the gods and goddesses on the astral plane, they have not brought that philosophical knowledge to this incredible development in human consciousness called the internet. That they're kind of like everyone else.
Don't think I quite put it that way.
But that's...
You wouldn't
describe astrologers that way?
No. I've sort of lost track of it. The description was
rather long. Well, the astrologers are people who are using alternative planes of reality. They're working with archetypes. They are referencing things that are in the non-physical.
Okay.
And that despite all of that metaphysical training and experience, you're finding that it does not transpose into our philosophy of the internet. We haven't caught on.
Well, I don't think it does in that astrology, what is astrology? Astrology is what happens between astrologer and client. That doesn't happen really on the internet. The consultation may happen via Skype, but the actual astrology is a different thing. The astrology is separate from that. I don't think that can be put onto the internet.
I would invite you to look at Planet Waves.
Okay.
Because we are doing astrology on the internet in a collective way, and people are accessing their materials on the internet, and it's a beautiful thing. But I'm passionate about the internet and its potential. And you know, I read Siberia, like in the book Siberia, like in 1998, and I'm a huge fan of Robert Hunter. John Perry Barlow, who was one of the first people who conceived of cyberspace as a space. He's in the early...
Well, he's the first person that used the term cyberspace when in reference to the internet, to the physical medium called the internet.
Yes.
They were growing up separately. He brought them together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A great thinker. Great lyricist also as well. So Francis, thank you very much for being a guest on Planet Waves FM. I know your time is limited. You're in demand here.
Oh, thank you,
because
Eric.
You're actually studying things and looking at things in a systematic way, and I'll fill out my survey in a little while. We've been speaking with Francis Clynes, a PhD candidate at the University of Wales, Trinity, St. David. And we'll be eagerly anticipating your next discovery.
Thank you.
Okay, you've been listening to this interview on Planet Waves FM. My name's Eric Francis, the host of Planet Waves FM, here with our continuing coverage of the United Astrology Conference in New Orleans, Louisiana. We've got a whole bunch of really interesting stuff queued up. We've got somebody named Emma coming in to talk about a combination of eclipses and the Uranus-Pluto square. Then Gary Caton, who's been a contributor to Planet Waves, is going to be up next and talking about more about eclipses and owning the boorish shadow. That's his joke, by the way. And then Susie Cox is going to be talking. I believe Susie Cox, talking about sun signs. And then the last interview up for the day is the beloved saint of Planet Waves, Melanie Reinhardt, author of Chiron and the Healing Journey, and To the Edge and Beyond, Saturn, Chiron, and the Centaurs, one of my personal favorite astrologers in the entire universe for all of my lifetimes, Melanie Reinhardt. So we'll be ending our long day here at UAC with this. Our technical assistant is Sarah Bissonette Adler, sitting here next to the Planet Waves booth in her little throne. That's very cute. I'll put a picture of her up editing these pieces and making sure the sound is right. And the music that you are now listening to is by Yasa, my buddy in London, who's a very quick, eloquent composer. And he played all those instruments and played that sax on a synthesizer, but he played the guitar on an actual guitar. Anyway, it's now a little before 4 o'clock on the 25th of May, 2012, in the 21st century. I see my next guest coming up. I will catch you next. Bye for now.